Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Weiss here with you. I got my producer, Nick, with me. We're going to go over Joe Shane's press conference today at the Scouting Combine. We'll talk a little bit about the draft in free agency. But before we get into everything, let's take care of a couple of housekeeping stuff. Follow me, Weiss, at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. And follow Ethan, who's not here, but still give him a follow at Ethan GSN. Also, subscribe to the podcast, NYG Weekly Podcast. We're everywhere, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Plus, Stitcher Radio. Did I get them all?
Spotify,
yeah. So follow us, subscribe, tell your friends. Let's get right into it. Obviously, an important offseason for the Giants, an important couple, important week, because the Giants have two players that they really want to re-sign, but only one franchise tag. And the deadline to get a deal done to avoid one of them hitting free agency is March 7th. That is a very, very, very important day. One thing that I think we can all agree on is that Daniel Jones is the priority of the New York Giants right now, or Saquon Barkley. They want to get a deal done. If they had to pick between the franchise tag either on Jones or Barkley, they're going to go with Jones. He's their quarterback. He's their guy for at least 2023, maybe 2024. Joe Shane said that at the season-ending press conference. He said it again today at the Combine. We've heard a lot of crazy numbers out there, a lot of theories, a lot of people giving their opinion. We've already seen some people turn on Joe Shane. It's been a hectic couple of weeks, but I am very relaxed. And I'm relaxed because, listen, you hire a GM, and the process that they had, which I thought was a good one, they interviewed a lot of good candidates, hired the candidate that they thought was more deserving. So I think he deserves a shot. And if he wants to have Daniel Jones as his quarterback, then so be it. I also think there's another element here that people are missing, and that's the fact that Brian Daboll might really want Daniel Jones as his quarterback. And sure, we can discuss Joe Shane and what he's done so far, but one thing we know about Brian Daboll is in 1 year, he's gotten the best out of Daniel Jones. This team went to the playoffs, won a playoff game. So I think he's earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, right? But yeah, that's where we are. Nick, we haven't spoken in a while. What's your thoughts? How are you feeling? How's everything?
I'm very relaxed about the Giants. Like you said, you tweeted that and I got the notification and I was like, he's right. This is the first offseason in like 4 years where I'm not worried the GM is going to make an awful decision the first week of free agency.
Right.
We've been, all three of us have been pretty confident that whatever Shane is going to do will at least make sense. It might not work out long range, but at least there's going to be found a sound philosophy going into making that decision, as opposed to the knee-jerk reaction of, well, we need a wide receiver. Who is the best for wide receiver we can get right now? We need a linebacker. Okay, let's go trade 2 draft picks for a linebacker. There's a plan. They have contingencies to that plan, where if they can't get an agreement done, they will tag Jones, and then they will try and figure it out eventually. Yeah, that puts Saquon kind of in a weird position, because that almost certainly means he's going to walk if they tag Daniel Jones, but they have a plan, and they're going to stick to it. And I asked you and Ethan this earlier was, do you think Shane coming out and saying outright, well, we want Daniel to be here next year, he's our guy, no doubt, is just kind of putting the screws to Jones in a way of saying that if it doesn't come together, then the Giants can say, well, we did everything we could. We told you we wanted him to be here. We offered him a fair number. I think this front office has done a great job of just setting the team up to be successful.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is the fact that everything that, now obviously we'll see by his actions, but so far, everything he's said since the season ended about how, look, you're not going to let the success of 2022 hinder what your original thought process was of the team. This roster still needs a lot of work.
Absolutely. So
they might be closer than what we originally thought when these two guys took over, but they understand that this roster still needs a lot of work. They still need key starters on the defensive end. We talked about the offense. They need receivers. They still need work on the offensive line. And it seems like they understand that, which makes me think that they're not, this isn't some all-in endeavor type offseason where it's like, let's go and trade draft picks for a receiver. Let's go and, you know, get DeAndre Hopkins, or let's go and, you know, make all these win now type moves because of what we did last year. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they understand, hey, look, we want to build this thing for sustained success. This is not something where we're closer than we thought in terms of, you know, winning a Super Bowl. I think they realize, hey, what we did in 2022 was successful.
Stands alone. It stands achieved.
Yeah. There's some things we can take from that. There's some things that we learned from that. But the bottom line is still the bottom line, and that this roster still needs a lot of work. It still needs to build depth. And I think you do that from building through the draft. And I think that's what they understand. And I think that was the biggest takeaway from today, was just a reassuring feeling like, okay, you know, despite the success, this is still a multi-year rebuild. And fans might not want to hear it, but that's just the reality of the situation. They're not going to let that 2022 season hinder their long-term plans.
And we talked about this the entire regular season. It's not just about this year. It's not about next year. It's not the next 5 to 10 years. And that starts now. You need the blue chip foundational guys. You've got a couple you really like. You've got Andrew Thomas. You drafted Evan Neal. You've got Kayvon. You've got a handful of blue chip, Dexter Lawrence, a handful of blue chip guys to build around. You need more than that, though. And you need to build out the depth. You need to build out the bottom half of this roster, which is going to be really important the next couple of years, picking in rounds 4 through 7, because you've seen it the last couple of years, the amount of guys the Giants have had to bring in off of the street and play that week. The Giants have a lot of roster depth they need to develop over the next couple of years, and that's going to be through the draft. The draft is the most cost-effective way to build a team, and it's really the only way to build a team. There have been weird outliers, kind of, where you can say that worked for them, but that wouldn't work for this team. The Giants couldn't do what the Rams did 2 years ago. They couldn't trade all their picks with some guys already on the roster and rely on drafting guys in rounds 4 through 7 to fill it out. The Giants are worried about 3 or 4 years from now, because they understand they probably can't win a Super Bowl this year coming up or the year after that. But after that, when you've got a little bit more of an organizational feel for it, you've got the GM has had 3-4 draft classes to kind of fill out the roster with their guys. And to your point about Dable, about if Dable really wants Jones to be here, they'll find a way to make it work. They've got plenty of time to put their fingerprints on this team, and you can't get lost with, but they won a playoff game. There's a good chance they don't even make the playoffs next year. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's not getting towards the destination. It's not linear. You are going to have hiccups along the way between now and eventually winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, you don't look at it and say, okay, well, we made the divisional round last year. Now it's about making the NFC Championship game. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as, okay, I saw what we did last year. There's a lot that we can build on. Now tell me how we can close the gap between the teams that made it to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl and us, and how we can close that gap. And I think that's going to be important. And I don't think they can close that realistically one off season. Do I think that they can close the gap somewhat? Yeah. But I don't think they're automatically going to get on the Philadelphia Eagles level after one off season. They're going to need to draft well. They're going to need smart decisions. And one important thing is it's not always like the best way to build a roster is in the draft, but you also need to make smart, sound decisions in free agency, not just in terms of who you sign, but who you don't sign as a free agent on your team. You know, like those are the tough decisions as well. It's not just as simple as, hey, okay, I need a receiver because this team did this. I can go do that and I'll have the same success. That's not the way it is. Everything is different. Every situation is different. And I think for the Giants, the most important thing here is, you know, they have another draft class that you feel good about. Now, you know, the jury's still out on 2022, excuse me. Obviously, a lot of injuries. I think every single player they drafted got hurt. I think 4 or 5 of them had season-ending injuries. I mean, it was insane. So you're going to have those, I think, 11 players plus these 9 picks. We'll see if they maneuver in the draft. You got those 20 players. You throw them in there. Hopefully that continues to lay the foundation and you go from there. So I that was one thing I really, really liked about what Joe Shane said. The other big thing is, obviously, this has been the topic of conversation since the season ended, is obviously Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. We talked about it. Daniel Jones is the number one priority. They want to get something done. You talked about how sort of the public comments that Joe Shane meant. Is there a hidden message there? I do think so. I think what he's essentially telling Daniel is, I want you, the team wants you, we think we can win with you, but we have
there's a limit.
Right. Yeah. There's a line in the sand. Whereas with Saquon, he publicly said it. We're not close. There's a line in the sand. I think with Daniel, this is him telling him, hey, look, you're going to be our quarterback in 2023, right? He said that he's going to be our quarterback in 2023, whether it's the franchise tag or a long-term deal. But if we're going to get to that long-term deal, we have a limit. And I just think he was basically saying the same thing, just in a different way of him saying it. So I agree with you on that. And as for Saquon, I think it's difficult because if they had Daniel under contract, we're just going to franchise Saquon, and then that's going to be, we're going to hold the cards to the negotiations, right? Because Saquon's asking for $14 million. Well, if I franchise him at $10 million, all of a sudden you got to come down to our 12.5, which has been the reported line in the sand for the Giants. The other big part about this is if they don't get a deal done with Daniel Jones, he gets the franchise tag. Saquon Barkley then becomes a free agent on March 15th. It doesn't make sense for me, if I'm Saquon, and help me out with this, why would I not test the free agent market?
Yeah.
And obviously free agency sort of starts during the combine and you sort of get an idea of what's available, what's out there. But even then, so if I know what the Giants are offering, why not just test the market?
Yeah, no.
Free agent.
From his perspective, anytime a player has the chance to go to free agency, even if they want to stay where they are, if I were their agent, I would encourage them, just go see what's out there. Because you already know what the team that's trying to extend you is willing to offer you. Go find out. If somebody wants to blow you away, go somewhere else. If it means that much to you to stay where you are already, then you know what the offer is. It really doesn't make sense for him as a player to not go find out what's out there. It just doesn't.
And the one thing about free agency, people do this every year where it's like, who's going to pay this guy? There's always going to be a team. There's always, all it takes is one, right? Like
the Giants take Kenny Galladay. They paid Nate Solder. Someone's right. Going to pay that guy, yeah.
There's always going to be a team out there that's going to be willing to pay. And Saquon's a great player, so there's, you know, he'll, I think there'll be teams that will be willing to pay him, even though he plays a position that's devalued in the NFL. So I think, how do you think this whole thing plays out between now and March 15th?
So it's one of two ways. Either they get Jones for like 36, 37 a year for like 5 years, but only three guaranteed, and they keep Saquon, they'll tag Saquon and figure it out. Or they don't come to an agreement with Jones, they tag him and Saquon walks. I really think those are the only two paths forward from here.
I do think they're very disciplined in terms of how much they're willing to spend.
Yeah.
And they might adjust certain things with bonuses and language and what's guaranteed, what's not guaranteed. But I do think there is a line in the sand with both. And another thing that I do know is they don't want to use the franchise tag on either.
Yeah.
They will if they have to.
Yeah, because you limit your financial flexibility because you can't extend the guy once you tag them. That's the other problem with tagging them is you can't make the money work. You can't move money around if they're only in your contract for the following season. You need to add on more years, which is why a couple of weeks ago we had discussed the, because originally I think someone suggested something around 40 for five, but three only guaranteed where the Giants can get out after three. Something along those lines. It kind of, the sticker price kind of is shocking for somebody of Daniel Jones's tier to command that much, but that is the going rate for a mid-tier starting quarterback in today's NFL. Derek Carr got $40 million last year. Daniel Jones is probably better than Derek Carr. He's got a real argument to say, I should be making at least that. The Giants can maybe convince him, hey, we can give you more years, but you got to bring that number down just a little bit to make it work for us so we can build a team around you. It's great you're going to get paid, but if you want to win, we need a little more financial flexibility.
The big thing with Daniel Jones that plays in his favor is three things. Number one, he's coming off
a great year.
A great year individually and as a team, you know.
Yeah.
Number two, the team isn't in a position where they could go get another quarterback. There isn't somebody on the market like that. So I think that plays in his favor. But for the Giants, they have the ultimate leverage tool, and that's the franchise tag.
Yeah.
So I think Daniel has some sort of, I'm going to call it leverage, but there's still some things on his side. But I think ultimately it all comes down to the Giants because they do have the franchise tag that there's bolts. Some of the other things that, did you want to add anything else about
no.
Jones or Barkley? I think we've talked about it for a long time and a lot. The other big thing that was talked about at the combine was Joe Shane did like a Q&A type thing, and he talked about receivers. Obviously a big need, especially since they cut Kenny Golladay, right? Not that that would be a difference, sarcastically speaking. But he talked a lot about his prototypical wide receiver, what he looks at. And this was the biggest thing that I took away from today, because so many years you hear Giant fans talk about, we got to go get a wide receiver that's tall, because in the past, we've had success. Our quarterback has had success when he's had a tall, physical receiver, Hakeem Nicks, Plexico Burress. But I think Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are not about that. They don't look and say, I need a guy that's 6'4" that can go up and get, you know, these contested catches. Like, they don't look for that. The number one thing that they look for, and this, to me, I agree with this wholeheartedly, is separation.
Yep. And easily.
The big thing with separation is that is about skill.
Yeah.
Whereas size and speed are what? A trait. Right.
Measurables versus what's the other? It's measurables versus production. Those are the real arguments.
Something like that, yeah. No. The one of the things I heard people talk about was tangibles versus intangibles, but that,
yeah.
the way I see it is, if a guy is 6'3" and can get separation and is fast, great. If a guy is 6'3", can't get separation, that sucks. Right? We just saw with Kenny Golladay. What they are basically telling you is route running is very important to us. A receiver has to be able to run a route. He has to be very flexible in his route tree. And it doesn't matter if he's 5'11 or 6'4". If he can get separation or he can't get separation, that is our ultimate deciding factor. And I think that's very important. It kind of shows you what kind of offense they want to run, right? Where they want to have players that can move, they can move around, sort of similar to Wink on the defense side of the ball, where it's like a positionless, you know, defense, where it's sort of like a positionless offense where you can put a receiver in the backfield. You can line them up in certain areas. And I think that's, we're sort of starting to get a glimpse of like, okay, this is the type of offense they want to run based on the type of players they want to bring in.
Yeah, no, the more wrinkles you have on your offense, the better. We saw when the Giants offense hit that wall in the middle of the season, it was because they got entirely too predictable. When you have the flexibility of lining receiver up in the backfield or running back in the slot, or a tight end that can both inline block really well but also be a threat pass catching, it just makes the defense's job more complicated because they have to be responsible for more things. And because receiver is so important, because most of the major college football teams, if not all the significant ones, have transitioned to spread-based offenses, whether it's spread option, whether it's the air raid, they all, or most teams are running three receiver sets, if not four receiver sets most of the time at the college level. There's never been a better time to draft wide receivers. There are going to be good wide receivers in every draft class. This class is no different. It might not have the range of guys as the last couple of years, but Jordan Addison, Smith and Jigba, even Jalen Hyatt, a little bit further down the board, Quentin Johnston, there are plenty of guys who would make a real difference on this Giants offense.
I agree. This receiving class, I think there's going to be a lot of receivers that we look at and people say, wait, this guy's 5'11", we have Wandell. Well, it's like, I think you can't look at it like that. You're going to have to look at these receivers as
where they line up.
Yeah, exactly. Multilateral position. They're not going to be afraid to roll out two receivers that are under 6 foot. I don't think that that's going to sway them. As long as those guys are able to run routes and get separation, they're going to find a spot for them in this offense.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing, is fine-tuning your personnel to your offense. We talked about it a lot last year. The Giants ran the ball the most through 6 weeks of the season because that was their best player. Saquon was their best player, and they said, we got to get this guy the ball as much as we possibly can. Now that they have an offseason to kind of fine-tune the roster a little bit, bringing guys to do what they want to do, we can really see what Daboll wants this offense to be now that they're able to tailor their offseason a little bit more. Last year, the biggest concern was, okay, we're going to have to cut James Bradbury, and we have no money to fill out the rest of this lineup. Now, I'm not saying they have a ton of flexibility, but they can at least say, okay, we want to commit this much to these positions and go from there. And it's a good place to be at because they can build this roster the way they want to build it to be successful.
I agree. The other big thing is Kenny Golladay.
Thank you for your service.
I was thinking about this, right? So Dave Gettleman's free. You actually sent me this as well. Dave Gettleman's free agent signings, just looking at the list. I mean, how he got past like the fourth one was surprising to me. I mean, it was...
As you so artistic, so perfectly put it, we have put people in Guantanamo Bay for less than what Dave Gettleman did. Oh, you said man. It perfectly.
Kenny Golladay, 4 years, $72 million. This was from Warren Sharp, who put this out there. I actually think he missed a couple of things, too. Nate Solder, 4 years, $62 million. Obviously, the Bradbury, 3 years, $45 million. Adoree, 3 years, $39 million. Golden Tate, 4 years, $37 million. And then you had Kareem Martin, Patrick Omame, Kyle Rudolph, Jonathan Stewart. The big thing I think he missed was he signed Odell and then traded him and ate like $20 million in dead cap.
Yep. I didn't sign him to trade him.
But the thing about Odell was that, and this is the thing where he's like, well, you can't blame Gettleman, where it's like, yeah, I can't. And here's why. Number one, the Giants thought that by paying Odell, that would make Odell fall in line, be a company man. Money doesn't change people. If anything, it just empowers them more. And the Giants learned that the hard way. Now, we can talk about the trade or not, but the point is that was a contract that failed because they ate $20 million in dead cap. This is a very bad list. Kenny Golladay, if I were to ask you, between Golladay and Soldier, which one was the worst? And I had this debate with somebody earlier. What would you say?
Probably Golladay, because I knew Soldier was not going to work out because nobody leaving New England ever plays well, ever. That's the one thing. Like, Belichick gets a lot of shit for his general manager decisions about not drafting particularly well, but he knows when to walk away from guys. He knows when they don't have anything left to give. And Soldier pretty much immediately was bad. And then he sat out the one year because of COVID, and it just missed opportunity. Golladay, I at least had a little bit of optimism that, hey, maybe this could work. Solder, I think, up front, making somebody who was leaving New England the highest paid left tackle in football was a bad decision just philosophically.
By the way, it wasn't the highest paid. It was the highest contract.
Guaranteed?
No, offense tackle at the time in 2018.
Yeah. Back. It's over, man. We got a GM who knows what he's doing. He knows how the calculator works.
We still got the dead money. It won't be over till the dead money's off the books.
But our GM acknowledges that, as opposed to adding void years onto bad deals to keep guys. Hey, man, last year the Giants were had to restructure contracts to dress 48 guys on game day. That is the level of financial incompetence Dave Gettleman was operating under.
They got to a point last year where the only contract that they could restructure was Kenny Golladay, and they refused.
Yeah. That's how bad they had to get rid of him.
They were like, we're not touching this.
And they could have waited until June and could have gotten more this year.
But think about that. Well, yeah, they could have gotten more, but at that point in June, like, what are you going to, like, taking the dead cap and cutting in half, eating some next year, whereas this year they're just going to eat it all this year. And he's
take their medicine.
Yeah, which is fine. But Golladay, great memory was that we gave team touchdown on Darius Slay. I'll never forget that.
Hey, Davis Webb's going to remember that his entire life.
Yeah. Davis Webb.
Good for him.
Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be back with the Giants in a year if Mike Kafka's a head coach somewhere.
I could see it.
There was a part of me that thought that he was going to get the Arizona job.
I did too. I was worried about that.
Well, all right. I am going on vacation on Thursday, my man. I'm going to Dubai, and I'm very, very excited. I got a lot.
You're going to have a lot of fun. That's a long-ass flight, though.
12 hours, I know. But guess what? I got some business class seats, man.
Oh, you're lounging.
Yeah. Remember that that episode of Mr. Bean, where that skit went? That's going to be me, man. No. I'm excited. I got to play a lot of golf, get away. You don't have to hear about people on my timeline complaining about $35 million versus $37 million a year. Those are the craziest things. When people are like, I'm good with 35, but I'll go to war for 37. It's like, well, where are you? Come on.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. Either you're all in or you're not at this point, right? But yeah, I'm very excited. Very, very excited. I'll be back right before free agency starts.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. That was our Joe Shane recap. Nick, any last words?
I'm very happy Joe Shane's our general manager.
I'm very relaxed. It's crazy how, like, even though it's like we're talking quarterback, star player, potentially losing one, like, is this guy worth the money? I'm so relaxed because it's like you hired this guy. I'm just going to let the process play out before I start, you know, hitting the fire alarms and being a hopeful.
Exactly.
I'm cool.
You let
them chill.
Exactly. Until they mess up, they got carte blanche. Once they mess up, then we can start saying, hey, maybe they don't know what they're doing. But until then, we're
the
fine.
The coach just won coach of the year, man. If this guy he wants to be his quarterback, you know, like, okay, go ahead, brother.
Exactly.
You heard it. So I'm cool. I'm cool, man.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon.
Definitely talk soon.
Wrap us up.
All right, make sure you are subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcast, available on all the major platforms. Make sure you're following all three of us. I'm at Nick Zeraris. Weiss is at NYD Daily. Ethan is at EthanGSN. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe.
Tell your mama, tell your neighbor. Peace.